Welcome, rock stars, from Rockland USA Studios in Washington, D.C. This is Rock on the Money. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to give you ideas, answer your questions, keep you updated on your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, our in-house lawyer and real estate agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Call or text your questions or comments 24 hours a day to 989-888-ROCK, 989-888-7625. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Rock on the Money, or our website at rockonthemoney.com. Amanda.
Craig.
Please tell me you're not watching the CNBC or stocks or anything.
No, I don't have time for that.
Yeah, I've turned it off. I don't even watch it anymore.
It's for my own personal sanity. Plus, how could you even find anything that's not about the coronavirus?
You know, okay. This is one thing I would. I literally went through Facebook settings because I swore there was something in there where you could filter out a keyword. So if a post had a word in it, apparently it doesn't exist.
That would be so lovely.
There is nothing but that topic in Facebook. I can't even look at Facebook now. Yeah.
It's helpful to have short updates, but it's a bit much when it consumes the entire broadcast.
It's not even funny anymore.
I don't think it was ever funny.
I know, but everyone makes jokes. I did see,
and I know we've talked before about how it may or may not be as bad as the normal flu, but I did see a really interesting chart that, and a really good point that all of these mechanisms to contain or slow the spread are actually to prevent overcrowding at the hospital. So the same number of people might become infected, but if you spread it out over time, then at least you have medical care to all who will need it, rather than people having too many people who need a respirator at the hospital all at once. And if the hospitals run out, you know, more people would die.
Yeah.
So that made sense to me. So I guess, maybe we're not overreacting.
I just know it's hurting my pocketbook right now. So I'm losing work. And
This
may be the thing that forces me to really retire.
And I've got an international trip planned in April. So I'm watching closely.
Okay. Hey, what do we got in this episode?
Well, we've got a number of questions from our social media page, and then we're going to talk about credit card strategies that impact your credit score, and then we'll talk about, in our Savvy Savings segment, dining out options.
Ooh, I like dining out. I love it.
I'm not dining out at all right now because we just started keto, so...
That ruins everything.
It does ruin everything. Ugh. And what's funny is this guy whose plan we're following, there was a video and he's like, well, you can have a cheat day every now and then, but his cheat days were not real cheat days. His cheat day was like, well, you could have like 5 extra grams of carbs. I'm like, no. If I cheat, it's going to be like a piece of cheesecake.
I'm ordering pizza.
It's not going to be like, you know, a low carbs, one slice of bread.
Sounds miserable.
It is. Well, we'll see.
First question,
what's the advantage of a mutual fund versus an ETF?
Ooh, well, let me do one quick one, then you can jump in with, because I know you're the ETF girl.
Okay,
the one reason we tell everybody, especially in these times, to not change your 401k, your 403b, 457, moving your funds around, because the difference between a mutual fund and the ETF, a mutual fund within those retirement accounts, let's say you put in the order on a Wednesday, 12 noon. That order will not be filled until Friday morning before the market opens or at the close of Thursday. But you're locked into that order, so you can't really time the market. You have to ride it out. Let's say this virus thing clears up. The first hint that we've peaked and things are going to improve, I do believe the stock market's going to slingshot. And if you're not in the market at that point, it'll be hard to get in and you could miss out. I don't know how much it could be. No one knows. It could be 1,000, 2,000 points. I don't know. Nobody knows. I just don't want anyone out there to get caught and miss this. Because a lot of people, like I've said in other podcasts, my friends in the fire department, they tried to do that back in 2008, 2009, Amanda. mm-hmm. and they missed it because it yeah. slingshot so quick back up. It took them a whole day, 1 to 2 days to get back in, and they missed out on a massive gain. Yeah. That's why we have you stick it out. Now, ETFs, girl, go ahead.
Yeah, well, there's a number of advantages of ETFs over mutual funds. First is the tax benefits, and that's really the biggest advantage over mutual funds. Due to the way that they're constructed, ETFs incur capital gains taxes only when you sell them, whereas mutual funds incur capital gains as the shares within the fund are traded throughout the life of the investment. Mm-hmm. So favoring an ETF over a mutual fund could lower your tax bill from your long-term investments.
Right.
ETFs are simple. When you buy or sell an ETF, you do so at one price with one easy transaction. You're always only a single trade away from opening or closing a position. While, like you mentioned, opening an account or redeeming shares in a mutual fund it's not complicated, it does take more effort than a simple trade because you have to call customer. Well, nowadays more and more is online, but there is that wait time involved for the transaction to go through.
Are you currently in any ETFs as of today?
Yeah. Good. I haven't touched anything. Yeah. No, I'm sticking it out.
I bought back into an ETF at $82, the XLK, which I've owned previously, but I sold out when I sensed things were going bad. So I retained my money, held on cash. It dropped. I've made two purchases on the way down. It has been actually holding. I'm very pleased to see it holding between 82 and 85.
Yeah, that's good.
So I may have seen a bottom in this. What the XLK is, the portion of the S&P 500, but just technology. I know, Amanda, you're a big believer in technology too.
Yeah, I mean, Craig, I don't have many ETFs. I am heavily weighted in individual stocks because I, you know, have done some research, but I have a few ETFs, like an S&P 500 one, which is down.
Right. Yeah. Really hit
but,
hard.
But, you know, we've also talked in the past about the cost effectiveness of ETFs, you know, versus mutual funds, because there's not a human person managing the fund like there are with mutual funds. So there's no asset selection process involved. You know, there's no rebalancing or anything. There's nothing actively managed that would be subject to higher management fees. So ETFs are always more cost effective.
Oh, no, they are. They are. Mm-hmm.
So we're currently watching the Showtime series Billions. It's all about like investment fund, hedge fund trading.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you have a fund manager who can consistently beat all of the ETFs, like an S&P 500, then maybe it's worth paying them for their time and expertise to do all that research behind the scenes. But as we've seen in the past, there are very few, if any, that actually can meet that benchmark.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, study after study. So we try and keep it simple for you guys. All right, let's go on social media too.
Sure. I found out my retired parents, who are retired for 3 years, ages 65 and 69 now, have the majority of their nest egg in 86% stocks and 14% bonds. Those are American Class A funds. They have had the same financial advisor for over 20 years. I'm shocked that they weren't moved to bonds years ago. Does this seem normal? And I'm panicking for them for no reason. They can live off the military pension and Social Security that they have.
So this question was posted in our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/your401k, if you're not a member of it. We had a conversation with this person in the open forum, so everybody kind of saw it. And the one thing that really caught my eye, Amanda, they were with the same financial advisor for 20 years.
Yeah. Maybe they're performing really well.
And that's true. And I did ask them to check the results of that. If they're not being the S&P 500, just like you talked about, and what fees are you paying? What commissions and all that over this time? And so the good situation that they have a very good, decent military pension and Social Security, which you said they can live off of. So they don't need this money yet. So this is kind of like going to be in my camp for what I plan on doing. Mm-hmm. I will probably, more than likely, I will stick it out and stay aggressive in stocks my entire life.
Yeah.
Because
and some people can do that because you have, it's more like your backup fund.
Yes. And once again, just like our previous episode, we're dealing with a fully funded pension that is their primary. They don't need this money, so they can withstand. Remember what we tell everybody, that if you're within 10 years of your retirement and you need that money, you got to back it off.
Right.
Because it could take 10 years to recover from a crash. And that's what we're always concerned about.
Yeah.
And just like 2008, we've had a great run, but all the different
record
corrections.
Record run, 11 years.
Yeah. But all the corrections before, if you need that money, you could get really hurt. You need time to recover. So this person, they could actually stay in that 86% stocks, 14% bonds. Just for educational purposes for everybody else out there, let's say you did need this money. Let's reverse this. There is no pension in there. I went and found a Vanguard Target Retirement Date Fund 2020 based on their age that they're retired. So I just picked this year's Target Date Fund. This is the mix that you would typically have if you need to protect the money. The Vanguard 2020, it's a fund of funds. 30% is the index fund for the total stock market index fund, which we've talked about before. Then you get into the bond. So 30% in the bond fund, 20% in the international stock index fund. So that's more stocks. That's 50% stocks right there.
Yeah.
Then we have 12% international bond index fund. And then at the bottom, 7.6% in a short-term inflation-protected securities index fund, which is kind of like a stable value fund. So that would be 50-50, 50% stocks.
Yeah.
So that's what Vanguard would typically do automated in a target date fund. So, and then we looked at the performance over time, and 10 years performance in that fund has been 7%. So if you're doing a withdrawal rate of 4% from your retirement fund, which is recommended, that would last your retirement.
Yeah.
It looks like it ran since inception when they developed this thing in 2006, it has done 6.16%.
Nice.
Which is good. So that right there is a basic rounded look at how a retirement fund can get you through. Hopefully, historically, get you through retirement.
Yeah, so I think what this really demonstrates, though, Craig, is how accurate the it depends really is. You know, you can't just take all of the specifics and circumstances of each individual fact pattern. They make a difference on what the advice or what, you know, what path should be taken. So, you know, yeah, there are some blanket statements that we share for that are generalities, but they're not always suitable for each individual situation.
That's a great point. And this is why we like presenting these different situations. So you can hear the various answers to get you thinking. This whole podcast and the group and website, everything is an educational experience. So hopefully you're understanding, wow, okay, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I mean, if there was just one answer for everyone, we would have only had one episode.
Yeah, and that wouldn't make a great podcast series whatsoever. Hey, I got a media question for you, number three.
Okay.
And you've talked about this before. Auto rebalancing, yes or no?
Okay, so a couple of things there. If you're in funds, the funds are basically inside each fund. They're already doing the balancing, auto rebalancing. So if you're simply in a target fund, they're going to do the balancing for you. That being said, however, how many times have we told people, you know, don't use the target date fund? For most people, it doesn't make sense. For most people.
Right.
If you're doing your own balancing and you're looking at what makes sense for you, I would do it twice a year.
Yeah. And most of the time, we recommend 100% in a S&P 500 index fund. However, we have a lot of people in here from an airline. And we have found that they have a fund that historically has easily beat the S&P 500 fund, which is what you want. You definitely want to have that. So if you have it available, what we've been telling them and what some of us may be doing is 50-50 between 50% of the S&P 500 index fund and then 50% in that other one to give your balance a kick. So in that case,
obviously, if you're 100% in one fund, there's no balancing to do.
Right. That's what I was getting at. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I personally don't do rebalancing more than once a year.
Yeah.
I would say twice a year max, like every 6 months.
Yeah.
Not twice a year like January and then February, but space it out.
Sounds good. Hey, I got another social media question for you. Number four.
Okay.
We got a lot of questions. First time listener and new at this. Currently, I invest 100% in a target date fund 2045 in my 401k. 6% contribution rate. What other investments do you suggest? I see Fidelity Total's Market Index Fund as an option. I am 41 years old. Company matches 25% of the first 6% of my contributions. Husband has his own 401k and another pension. No credit card, auto debt, just a mortgage. Congrats on that, by the way.
Yeah, that's great.
Two teenage sons that we have 529s for. Thank you for your help. So that means they're on baby step 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
What say you?
I'm trying to figure out the math on 25% of the first 6% because I don't think it's as wow as we thought.
No, it's not. No. It makes that's it sound like, pretty good, but yeah, I like it when it's more like we'll just match a certain percentage of your salary.
That's if you contributed $6, they would put $1.50 in for every $6.
See,
right?
Like one I have is 9.3% of my salary. Boom.
Right.
I like that. It's clean.
Okay, but some match is better than no match, and then obviously that's why she's doing the 6% is to get the maximum match on that, which makes perfect sense. So we've talked before in the past about especially it sounds like someone closer to my age, but the target date fund for 25 years out doesn't make sense for most people, especially if you already have, you know, another 401k in the family and a pension. Certainly is her husband should look at his 401k and see where he is allocating his money. But the target date, I would, if it were me, I would move away from it and go into one of the ETFs, even with today's market.
Yes. Because you know what? Someone may be listening to this in 2021. But as we're recording it, we're going through a bad market. But
yes, we are in a dip for sure.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, the 2045 fund. Yeah, if we can get you in the S&P 500 index fund, it's one of those core and explore things. You need to have your core investment going, which could be the S&P 500 index fund. And they did mention the Fidelity Total Market Index Fund as an option. That would be the one. And then you could look on beyond that. And then you need to fully fund that 401k.
Yeah, and that was the other point I was going to make is great job getting through. It sounds like you're through the first few baby steps. We haven't heard anything about an emergency fund. So if that's not funded, you need to make sure you have your 3 to 6 months of emergency fund set aside. And I would do that before you continue contributing to the 529s. And then once your emergency fund is in place, then you can ratchet up and contribute at least 15% to your retirement funds before you can continue contributing to the 529s.
Look at you with the baby steps. You caught that. I didn't even catch that. Yep, they could be on 3 and we just skipped over that. No, very good. I love that.
Yeah, awesome. Make sure you've got that emergency fund and stop skipping over your own retirement to pay for kids' college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not a fan of that 529. That baby step.
I mean, I'm a fan. I have a 529 for my son, you know. It's just not priority. It doesn't take a priority over your own retirement savings.
Absolutely. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I'm not against 529s, just so we're clear.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Question number 5. I'm new here. I'm 41. Started my Roth IRA this year. I maxed out contributions for the last year and this year. And well, man, that's a tongue twister. And we'll max it out every year until it's matured. I'm not sure what that means. Any advice? Any other investments I should look into? Thanks. I'm glad to be part of this here. Well, we're glad you're here.
Cool. So let me talk about the first part here. So for any listeners who are new and haven't started a Roth IRA, do it now, even though we're in a dip, because before April 15th, you can still contribute for last year. So you can allocate contributions for 2019 still until April 15th. And then you can also contribute for this year. So if you do it now, you could get an extra year worth of money into that Roth IRA.
Nice.
If you wait until April 16th, then you can only start with this year.
Would that be backdoor-ish?
No. No, that's straightforward.
I know it is.
It's just, it's more like the procrastinator's loophole, I guess.
Especially if you need to lower your tax bracket. I don't know how close, you know, where you are in that tax bracket, but it could bring you down a little bit if you do.
Roth isn't going to do that because it's after tax.
The traditional. Okay.
You might, depending on your income level, you might get a saver's credit, but that's again, something for between you and your tax professional.
Okay. So what other investments could they look into beyond their IRA?
Because if you put money in an IRA, it's just in a cash fund until you actually invest it.
Yeah. They said they've maxed out all their contributions for the IRA. And now they're looking for additional.
But that's different. You can max your contributions to the IRA. And I'll be honest, this was something I didn't realize when I first started doing a Roth IRA. You put a bunch of money in there, but it's not really invested until you move the money from the cash part into actually making buys.
Right.
So, one, I don't know what we mean by matured because it's always there.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Hopefully they have it. They've bought something with it.
Yeah. So that's what I'm concerned about is making sure not only that there's money in the pot, but that money is allocated to actual investments within that pot.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that then beyond that, I think it goes back to everything we've been saying in the last 27 episodes, right?
Yes.
the ETFs, the, you know, S&P 500 funds, the Core and Explore that we talked about one or two episodes ago.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be in the IRA itself. You could still put money at our favorites. Like, let's say they have it at Schwab, IRA. We don't know where it's at. But if they're in Schwab, you can still deposit more money in there and then just invest it in a long-term stock. I personally recommend people don't buy stocks unless you're willing to hold on to it 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years. And if you have all this money you're dumping in right now, I would pace out your buys.
Right.
I wouldn't buy all $6,000 worth of stocks tomorrow. I would maybe 1,000 tomorrow and then wait a couple of weeks and see what's looking like there.
And I have no problem telling people if you're looking for a 10-year stock, I could easily tell you if you wanted to get Amazon, Apple, or Microsoft right off the bat, I have no problem you being in that the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Because, they're not affected by the virus. Mm-hmm. The factories in China are back up and running, making those new iPhones with the 5G. So the supply chain was, a month or two behind, but now they're back up. So, I mean, that was the worry. So will that phone make it for the fall? Maybe not, but it's still coming and it's still generating revenue between Apple TV, the store, and they still make money. So
They were still down 3.5% today.
That's okay. but look at the last 5 days. It's APPO. And then after hours, it was up $2.
Tesla's come down so much since that run they had a couple of weeks ago.
Yep. Yeah, 600s. Oof.
I bet some people lost their shirts on Tesla.
There have actually been a lot of stories about that because people mortgaged their houses on it when it was 800.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Don't do that, people. Please.
And unless you're willing to hang on to it for 10 years.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's a fast investment. So, and then the other thing, I guess, if you're asking if there's anything else you could invest in, you know, you can diversify further. Right now we're at record low interest rates. So if you're looking to, if you've got all your baby steps covered and you want to go into home ownership, I think housing is a great thing to invest in. I would start with your own before investing in, you know, rental properties or anything else, but start with your own. That's a long-term investment in terms of equity. And then of course there's investment properties to look at.
Absolutely. All right. How about we take a quick break and then we're gonna come back and do what?
Credit card strategies that impact your credit score.
Perfect. Sounds awesome. And of course, don't forget, savvy savings.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. We'll be right back. This is Craig and Amanda with Rock on the Money. Welcome back, everybody. Don't forget, we are giving away gift cards. If you will call us and simply record your question instead of posting it in the group and having us read it. We'd love to hear your
Craig,
voice.
Craig, that takes so much effort.
It does. It's easier if they just leave a voicemail, then I just pop the, we just play it.
It's no one easier. Makes phone calls anymore.
I know. we're talking to the boomers.
Of course, you can also text your questions to the same number.
Yes, but you don't get in the running for the
You don't get in the drawing. We have to hear your voice for you to be eligible.
Here's the phone number, 989-888-ROCK, 989-888-7625. Simply just record your voice. Actually, we do have a voicemail that came in right before we started the show, so we'll use it on the next episode. So that means your odds are now what? 1 in 7?
I think 1 in 6.
1 in 6?
Last time we said 1 in 5, so if we're counting correctly, it's 1 in 6.
I have a fishbowl here. It's going to take a lot more. And we're going to post the video of me drawing the name out. So
okay.
So awesome. People know we're on the up and up. So, hey, what do we got? Credit card strategies that impact your credit.
Yeah, so this is a controversial topic, right? Should you have credit cards? I am a firm believer that if you are in credit card debt, you should not have a credit card. You should cut it up while you're working through your baby steps. You should not be relying on credit cards for anything. That defeats the entire purpose. Can cut up your credit card without canceling it, though, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is possible. Or I've even said before, put it in an actual block of ice and stick it in your freezer so it's not readily, you know, put it on ice.
Yeah, your method of freezing your credit's a little different.
Yeah, freeze your credit.
Actually freeze it. Literally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can't really just run off and do an impulse buy if you've got to take a hairdryer to your credit card.
Take a block of ice to the store.
So the question is, though, as you're working this, should you cancel your credit cards? Is it going to impact your credit score? It depends. So credit bureaus look at a couple of things when they're calculating your score. And it's an algorithm, so it's not like a person sitting down and looking at everything in totality, but it's an algorithm. One of the key things is how old is your oldest credit card account? So you can consider cancel if you have a handful, like half a dozen or more, or even three or more, I would certainly consider canceling the majority of your cards and keeping those that have, for sure keep the oldest one, because that's going to boost your credit score. And I would also keep a card that has a high available balance with a low balance, like balance that you owe. Because another thing that the credit bureaus look at is what is your ratio of what you owe versus how much credit you have available.
But we still want you to pay them off.
You should still be paying them off. So if you have nothing that you owe on the credit card, that's even better.
Right. That's the goal here, people. We don't want any balance. But
yeah, I don't have a balance. I have we have 3 credit cards, and it's only for the benefits on them, like points, travel points, and cash back. But we carry 0 balance. I pay them in full every 2 weeks. So about payments, you want to make sure you're paying your credit cards on time. Late payments to your credit card, even one day late, gets reported to the bureaus, and it is a big red flag and it really seriously tanks your score. You also don't want to be applying to multiple credit cards. So each time you apply to a credit card, even if you're just at, you know, Old Navy and they're like, hey, do you want a percentage off today? Just apply for this credit card. It's a hard pull on your credit. And, you know, they ask you, do we have your permission to run your credit? Every time you say that, that means they're running your credit. And each of those multiple runs impacts your score.
And just let me jump in here for my own personal thing. Whether or not we're for or against credit cards, please do not get store credit cards. Those are junk cards.
Yeah, finance your underwear.
Yeah, yeah, you brought that up before. Please do not just stick with the regular bank card. No matter what they say at Kohl's, I don't care about Kohl's cash, all this crazy thing. Just don't do it. Just
keep but don't those. You want to save an extra 10% today, Craig?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
It's a trap.
Because their interest rate is like 30%.
Right. And they're banking that you're going to forget one payment, and that's mm-hmm. where they get it all back. So it's a trap. It's a junk. It doesn't help you. It only can hurt you. Don't do it.
All right, that was the other thing I was going to say about late payments. So if you sign, if you do happen to have a newer credit card, you know, you got it before you learned about the baby steps, and they have some kind of cool introductory rate where it's like 0% for the first 9 to 12 months. If you make even one late payment, that credit, that interest rate, that enticing introductory rate goes away immediately, yep. and they bump you up to 30% on whatever your balance is from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. You know how many people get caught in that trap?
Yep. Yep.
Lots. Happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
These companies spend tons of money researching this, and they are going to win. If you can't trust yourself, just don't do it.
Yeah. So the other thing about credit balances, you know, if you are using all of your available credit, it makes you look like a really risky borrower, and your credit score is definitely going to suffer because of it. A lot of those card issuers will report a high balance, which is like the highest balance ever charged on the credit card. So if you're high balance, even if you've only done that once, like you maxed it out once and then paid it off, your credit report will still show that high balance amount. So it's best to keep your credit card balance below 30% of your credit limit, mm-hmm. so you don't look like an irresponsible borrower. And yes. I hesitate to even suggest this with this crowd, but if you have a really solid handle on your finances and you need your credit score boosted in order to, you know, get a home mortgage, and you're not able to do the manual underwriting that we've talked about in the past, a hack here is to call your credit card company and ask for a credit limit increase, and then pay down your balance even more, because then your percentage of debt to the available balance will be much lower. How do you feel about that, Craig?
I'm letting you roll with it.
It's controversial.
Remember, right? I'm the master financial coach. I'm kind of staying away from this credit card thing a little bit.
I know. This is a tough one here.
Yeah. Reality is a lot of people are going to have these cards.
Yeah. So if you have the card, I really am hesitant about telling people to increase your available credit if you don't have the discipline to not spend that new credit.
Yeah. Because I'm currently coaching a lot of people, and they really have a lot of credit card debt, and
yeah,
you know, it's one of those subjects that, you know, you either go either way on it. So
and then having too many credit cards can hurt your credit score. Unfortunately, the credit bureaus haven't told us exactly the number of credit cards that influence your credit score. Right. So we're kind of in the dark there, and it varies from person to person. I did see that Time reported in January 2015 that there was a man with 1,497 credit cards and a near perfect credit score because he only used one of those cards.
Which doesn't make sense to me, because a lot of these companies, if you don't use the card in so much amount of time, they'll actually, some will send you a notice saying, hey, or they'll just cancel it
they'll
for you.
They'll just close your account. Yeah.
Right.
For
so
inactivity.
It's recommended you use the card once or twice a year just to buy gas. I think you've mentioned this before. Just buy a soda or something like that. At least keep it active. Inactive accounts now with everything computerized, they'll just cancel it for you. The debt accounts do nothing for them. They're not the person they want. They want the people with a balance. They don't like people with zero balances.
And then if you have been with a credit card company for a while and your interest rate is high, give them a call. It's worth asking if they can lower your interest rate if you've had a history of paying on time and, you know, paying down your balance. They'd rather keep you as a customer than have you go somewhere like transfer your balance to another card. So give them a call. But they're only going to do that if you've been a responsible customer. If you've been paying late or haven't been making your minimum payments, you're not going to have any luck with that.
Yep.
And then again, we talked about keeping that oldest credit card around. But as you said, make sure you use it periodically to help out your credit score. And then finally, you know, check your credit card from time to time and see if they've got any new deals from time. Sometimes they shift. Like one of the cards I had, it had originally designated a percentage cash back for like gas and groceries. And then a year or two ago, it changed so that now you, the consumer, can choose which category of spending you want cash back on. So, you know, things change. Check with your credit card company.
The one card that I have is my Costco card. It's my membership card, the Visa. Mm-hmm. And because I do purchases there anyway. So last year it came up with $600 of cash. I can go in there. I have to take this little coupon in there, scan it. I can use it in the store. They're going to actually give me cash back.
Yeah, that's great.
But you can't get it till the end of the year. You build up over the year. So I kind of need it now with the stock market down. So if you want to give me $600 in cash, give it to me. Yep. Savvy savings.
Yeah. Today we're gonna another controversial topic. If you're working through Dave's baby steps.
Well, only if you're on baby step two is what he likes to say.
Oh, okay. Well, great.
If you're working on baby step two, he doesn't want to see you in a restaurant unless you're working there.
Yeah. So you better have all those credit cards paid off that we just talked about.
Right. Now, if you are beyond baby step two, this section's for you.
This section is for you. So here's a funny story. Are you ready?
Yes.
This is an adult audience, right?
Yes.
So this idea for this topic came to me because we were driving the other day and drove past an adult establishment that had a sign out front that said like half price buffets during the daytime, you know? So my husband looked at me and said, savvy savings.
Did you go?
No, I didn't go.
I was saying that I'm not sure if I could go in there and eat a buffet.
No, I know. But I guess it would be, he's not wrong. It is a savvy saving.
So are you giving him a pass?
He can have a pass. He knows that.
Okay.
All right. Look, so here's some ideas. If you want to go out and have a night out, or I guess an afternoon, a lunch.
buffet at the strip club.
Look at the restaurant's website for deals, coupons, savings, specials. Some of them even, if you sign up for like their membership, like Red Robin, if you sign up for their little Red Robin Club, they'll give you like a free burger now and then, you know. Mm-hmm. Read the menu before you head out so that you know what it will cost. And also then when you think about that, don't forget to add in what are an estimate of the tax and tip. That's often something that kind of doesn't get calculated in until the check arrives. Speaking of special savings, there's a number of weekday savings. Like Applebee's, I know, has Burger Monday, so you can get a burger and fries and a drink for like $6.99 a person.
Nice.
I mean, that's practically fast food. And you get a sit-down meal.
Yeah.
And then after 10 o'clock, they have, at 10 p.m., they have half-price appetizers.
Oh, that's after my bedtime.
Yeah, me too. I've never taken advantage of that.
I get up early, just like you do.
Yeah, plus I generally do intermittent fasting. I don't eat after 7 p.m.
And you're on a keto diet, so.
Yeah, I know. Keto between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Tijuana Flats, one of my favorite restaurants that I'm definitely missing on keto, is Taco Tuesdays.
Tuesday.
You get a two for tacos on Taco Tuesday for like $6, the whole meal deal.
Whoa.
A lot of places have kids eat free nights. Usually they're like Monday through Thursday or Sunday through Thursday, the lower traffic nights. Mm-hmm. But check. You never know.
Yep.
Speaking of Costco, Craig.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever taken advantage of this, but I was in there a week ago and saw that they have gift cards for restaurants. So you can pay $80 to get $100 worth of gift cards. So that's an automatic $20 savings for a lot of really popular restaurants. That's a quick hack. You know, buy the gift card for $80, gets you $100. One, if you want, you can give them away as gifts and you've already saved 20%, which is a pretty fair savings.
Heck yeah.
Or you can use it for yourself and then think about it. It's basically covered your tip then.
Mm-hmm.
Happy hour. That's a great one. appetizer specials are often included in happy hours. You might have to dine at the bar instead of the restaurant. So like when I was living in Miami, I would often meet up with some friends at Ruth Chris Steakhouse, which is really expensive place.
Yeah, it is.
You don't want to have a meal there because it's like $200 for two people to eat there. But if you go to the bar at happy hour, I was able to get a burger and fries for, again, less than $10.
Wow.
And that's meal. So think, you know, be creative, think outside the box on what time you eat and where you eat in the restaurant, and it could be huge savings. Mm-hmm. I've done this before, order off the kids menu, and that's you know, not just for savings but portions. These portions nowadays are out of control. Speaking of portions, you could also split a meal. My husband and I often split a meal. I shouldn't say often, but
I when do I do that a lot with friends.
Yeah, when I can convince them, we'll split them, because usually what comes down in front of you, you can't finish without getting yourself sick anyway.
Yeah.
Beverages are a huge cost on the bill. Even if you're getting free refills on sodas, if everyone at your table adds an extra like $2.85 or $3 to the bill for their fountain drink, you know, that can easily be $12 to $15. So just getting water with a lemon for zest or plain is a big saver. Mm-hmm. We talked about lunch instead of dinner. A lot of places have specific lunch menus versus dinner menus. And a lot of times the food is the same. Maybe the portions are slightly different, but the cost is usually significantly different. Another thing to think about is maybe look at the fast casual. And those would be like Tijuana Flats, where you go in and you order and then you sit down yourself, or like Chick-fil-A or
Chipotle and all those.
Chipotle, there's a lot of options there that are, you know, pseudo sit down, and then you save yourself that 20% tip.
You know what's very annoying though? A lot of these places that are fast casual, they'll hand you the slip to sign the credit card thing, and the tip thing is still on there. I'm like,
yeah,
you guys sit behind the counter. It's like, why do I have to do a tip? Coffee places do that too.
Oh yeah, and then there's the tip jar next to the register as well.
No. Is that wrong?
I don't know.
To me, they didn't do anything different. It's not like they serve me at the table. I don't know. I'm kind of torn on that. But I have given tips. I just find it annoying. I feel obligated. Like you say, I mean, thanks for the obligation.
Thanks for the obligation. I mean, the other way you can get away from the tip is if you order pickup. So like if you wanted to take advantage of some of the special night deals that maybe, I don't know if Applebee's does it if you pick it up, but you could order for pickup, and almost all restaurants nowadays have the car side to go, where you just pull up and they'll bring it right out to you.
Yeah.
But then I don't feel like you tip for that, or it's a smaller tip if anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just torn on that. It's
like pizza pickup versus pizza delivery, right? Do you tip when you pick it up yourself? I don't.
Right. I don't. I will actually drive to Domino's to pick up my pizza to save, because it's a pretty good savings.
Yeah.
It's only 2 miles down the street, but it could be $6 to $7 or more. Well,
yeah, because then you get the delivery charge that doesn't go to the driver, plus you're tipping the driver. So yeah, it's a good extra fee for convenience. Yeah. I saw this meme the other day. It was someone standing looking out the window, and then it said, waiting for my $6 sandwich to be delivered by Uber for $45. And that's so true, because they add all these fees and, you know, service convenience charges that every time we've looked to get something delivered, I'm just like, let's just go pick it up, because it adds like $15.
I hate to say this, because I'm a big tech guy. I've never used any of those delivery services.
Yeah, they're expensive. Even when they say it's a free delivery charge, there's still like four other line items where they add fees and everything.
That's what I heard. And I don't even install it on my phone. Anyway.
So the other thing you can do is check for employee discounts near your office, especially if you work for a major employer in your area. I know that the company that my parents work for, they have negotiated discounts around Green Bay. Like you can go and say, hey, I work for, you know, X, and then you get that employee discount at a number of even chain restaurants, you know. And also that applies, like if you are a teacher, sometimes they have teacher discounts or military discounts or emergency responder discounts. You just have to ask. And if what's the worst that's going to happen? They'll say no.
Nope.
That happens. But they might say yes. And even if they don't have a discount policy, I've even gotten military discounts at places that don't have policies because they're like, oh, yeah, sure, we'll give you a discount.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt to ask. The big one is like if you're eating out with a group, that one always gets awkward, right?
Yeah, I eat in groups a lot. But we just, everybody just gets a separate bill.
Because so that's the thing.
Splitting it evenly can be a pain in the butt.
Yeah, so the important thing, though, is to kind of have an agreement ahead of time so it's not awkward when the check arrives, right? Yeah, so I think that that's perfectly fair. Like, you pay for you, and otherwise, it's really uncomfortable if someone starts ordering a bunch of appetizers and desserts, and you know, you don't want to have to have that conversation after the bill is all tallied up and you had, you know, water and a burger and everyone else had steak, you know.
When I used to travel and do teaching for FEMA, emergency disaster preparedness stuff, we would go out as instructors with some other people, and that's what would happen. People would start ordering a bunch of beer, stuff like that. I'm having like Diet Coke, and they're racking up the bill. I know I only spent $15 on my stuff. And then they say, all right, everybody $40 each. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens. So
exactly what happens.
Split it up. Yeah.
Split it up. Yeah. Have an agreement beforehand. Otherwise, it's awkward at the end. Like, who's going to pick up the check, you know?
And then you're the jerk because you're like, no, I'm not paying $40. I didn't have any beer.
Yeah.
Alcohol is the big key on that one.
Alcohol.
Too.
Yeah. I didn't even mention that, but that's a good point. Alcohol
killer
will jack your bill up quick.
Yeah.
And the other things that will add to your bill really quickly are appetizers and desserts.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's a big add-on for restaurants. You can order an appetizer as your main meal, and sometimes that's a savings.
And you can split it.
And you can split it, yeah.
Yeah. Two spoons.
Anything else to add besides, you know, half-price buffets?
No, but one, going back to Costco again, they recently, I don't know if you've heard this, you now have to be a member to eat in the food court at Costco.
I did hear that.
Yes, and a lot of people got upset. I'm like, you know what? I have to stand in that stupid line to get my great hot dog because all these non-members are there at lunchtime.
Yeah, those hot dogs are loss leaders. They actually lose money on them. And you know what? Every time I'm like, oh, I want a hot dog. And every single time, I'm disgusted. I am like, this is the worst hot dog I've ever had.
But you ate it.
I don't know why I keep buying
it. I don't care. It's awesome.
Terrible.
It's awesome.
IKEA hot dogs are better.
Whatever. It's free. I know they lose money on it and they love it because it brings you in the store.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Only if you're a member now.
That's right. And I'm a member, daggone it. You scabs, don't get in my line anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. Any other ideas, Craig, for dining out?
Oh, and because you're a T-Mobile customer, and you know what? They should be an advertiser on here as much as we've mentioned T-Mobile. T-Mobile Tuesdays usually, typically has food on there with great coupon deals.
That's right.
A lot of them, either delivery services or they've had pizza in there, Domino's, Baskin Robbins, free ice cream cones every Tuesday. I love every T-Mobile Tuesdays.
Yeah. And they have like pick a free item at Taco Bell. I've seen that before.
And by the way, T-Mobile stock was up. It's been doing well.
Oh, speaking of, it says next Tuesday, there's going to be a $20 dining credit through Dining Advantage for T-Mobile customers.
Whoa. Huh. Yeah, their stock was up 2% today and after hours, another 2%. T-Mobile USA merging with Sprint, buying out Sprint.
Great suggestion. Anything else? Any other ideas?
No, that's it. That was awesome. Thank you very much, Amanda.
All right. Thanks, Craig.
And as always, a quick reminder, check out our website, rockonthemoney.com. We have show notes. All the podcasts are located right there. The website turns into a player. You can play it right on your phone. Plus, there's links there so you can subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platforms, including Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and TuneIn. And if you could leave us a review and some star ratings on those platforms, it really, really helps us out a lot. Check out our Facebook group community with over 3,000 people in there. Facebook.com/groups/your401k. And also check out our Facebook page at Rock on the Money. So long, everybody. We really, really do have a lot of gratitude for you listening, sharing, and spreading the word. You guys are great. Amanda and I cannot emphasize how much we appreciate you guys. So long, and we'll see you again next week. Until next time, America. America's Frontline USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.